Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. There's so much information that you're not hearing, unfortunately, because mainstream media is not covering. And today is this very important subject of Common Core Standards, what is being taught in public schools, and what will also affect homeschoolers and private schoolers. So we're here today to talk about Common Core, and we've got our, well, Miss Barbara Moore, our co-host, who is so good to always remind us of the foundation of this nation. So, Miss Barbara, I'm going to turn it over to you to start us off.
Okay. Thank you so much, Diana. What a glorious, glorious legacy that we as Americans have been given with our strong biblical foundation. And we have the freedom. We enjoy the freedom and the opportunity, the prosperity that we do because of those biblical principles embedded in our foundation. And we need to learn those principles of freedom so that we can preserve them and protect them for ourselves and future generations. Our human understanding is lacking, though, as Benjamin Franklin stated quite clearly so many years ago, back at the Constitutional Convention in 1787, our human understanding and our human wisdom is not enough. It is inadequate for the challenges before us. And so let's acknowledge that and let's go to the source of all wisdom and all understanding, all knowledge, our Creator and Redeemer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Father, knowing, Lord, how great you are, and how good you are, Lord. And knowing, Father, that although you created us fearfully and wonderfully to achieve, and we have such great potential, but, Father, we don't know everything as you do. We are finite. You are infinite. But you desire, Father, that we learn, that we would love you not only with all our hearts and our strength, but with all our minds as well. You desire that we develop our minds. And you gave us such potential, Lord. So we look to you, our Creator, and we say, Father, that we want to do things your way, individually and, Father, as a society in our communities, in our state, in our nation, Father, and throughout the world, Father, your ways are the right ways. Your word tells us that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And, Father, we would that our children would have life and life more abundantly. And that comes in you, not apart from you, but in you and through your wisdom and your knowledge and your understanding. We pray that for our children, Father. We pray that adults will protect our children, Father, at this very crucial hour in our state and in our nation and in the world, Lord. We pray, Father, that you will reveal to us as we seek your wisdom, that you will reveal it to us, Father, and that we will be able to protect our children, Father, against the evils, Father, the evils that are coming their way through this top-down educational or miseducational plan from Washington, D.C., the Common Core. We stand against it, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we pray, Father, that it will be stopped. And you will use us, Father, all of us, Lord. They're seeking you. Use your people. Use your church, oh God, to protect our children. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And listeners, we ask that you share today's podcast with your friends and family. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv and share the broadcast, because it's very important as a one who loves children that you be informed, because we don't want that child alone dealing with what's going to be really set in his mind through public education. It is really very troubling, and we want to stand in the gap, and we're so grateful for our friend Sharon Sewell, because she is with the Alabamians United for Education Excellence. And Sharon, we're so grateful, because I know that you're doing this out of a love for children, and you're here today to inform us, because you have been such a good, really, person to have done that. I think all your life you have stood for these children. You've taught in schools for over 30 years, and now that you're retired, you are really probably busier than ever, because you have gone about reading what is in the textbooks and trying to warn us what is going to really be made to be learned by our students. So, Sharon, we're just so grateful for what you're doing.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I've never done a call-in, so I just wanted to make sure. there is so much, and I really appreciate Ms. Barbara's prayer that she prayed before we got started, because there is such a history, and I heard something on the station talking about the history that has been forgotten. We have a whole generation of people who fought in World War II and after that fighting communism, fighting a real threat to our country, and people knew what socialism and communism was. They understood what it could do. They saw what it did in Cuba. They've seen what it's done in other countries around the world. And for some reason, Americans believe that we're in a bubble and it's not going to happen here. And it's through the textbook committee that I saw some things that really troubled me. And I would like to give a little history about myself, if that's okay with y'all, so that the audience, the listeners, can understand where I'm coming from. Would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay. Well, when I was a teacher, when it would have cost me my job, I decided that I would step out and fight a program called Goals 2000. This was back in the 90s, about 20 years ago. And this was my first nationalized education reform fight. I didn't know what I was getting into. I just knew it wasn't right. And as we started digging into Goals 2000, we found in the Southern Poverty Law Center catalogs two little books. One was called Heather Has Two Mommy. The other one's One Dad, Two Dads, Brown Dad, Blue Dads. And we discovered it was all about homosexuality and using those two little books in K-3 classes to help them accept homosexuality as a normal lifestyle. Goals 2000 promoted performance-based education versus classic traditional education. It wanted students to be tracked into a workforce mentality and also a workforce history, so that they probably would never get an opportunity to go to a university. It was a democratic initiative by Hillary Clinton and Mark Tucker. It was her dream during her husband's reign as president for a national health care system and a nationalized education. It didn't happen back then. The reason why is because parents pushed back really hard against Goals 2000. Before the Tea Party ever came to be, but grassroots organizations pushed back, and Republicans literally said, you're not going to do this with our children. Well, what has happened over the last 20 years is that these people have gone silent. They have perfected their techniques. They gained a lot of insight from how they lost the battle back in the 90s with Goals 2000. And now we have some very interesting players with Common Core, because if you listen to who pushes the hardest and speaks the loudest, and sometimes if you look for those who are not saying anything behind the scenes, you can learn an awful lot. So as different organizations have looked for empirical evidence that to show and to help prove that these standards were internationally benchmarked, they've been researched, define the scholars and the assessment developers, the professional organizations, and other members of the public that actually put Common Core together, you can't find these people. They don't want to be found. And so I started doing a little research, as all of us have been doing, and I read an article by a lady in Georgia by the name of Mary Graber. She put it on www.aim.org. It's called A Special Report, Terrorist Professor Bill Ayers. And I was stunned. I mean, I knew that I had been researching Common Core. I knew I had read the textbooks. I had done author studies. And many of these authors, if you Google their names and just put the word socialist or communist as part of that Google search, things will pop up all over the place where they speak, they talk, and they are part of the socialist and communist movement. Well, Bill Ayers, who was a terrorist, he was the Weather Underground group that bombed several buildings to try to kill people in our nation that didn't believe the way he did. He was put in jail for those things, but he was pardoned by Bill Clinton. When he was pardoned, he went to the University of Illinois, where he teaches classes and methods classes to teachers to radicalize future teachers, and by the extension of that, radicalize students and actually reculture our school. In 2009, Bill Ayers, Arne Duncan, and Martha Cantor were keynote speakers, where someone else was involved, and Mr. Nevin Brown of Achieve.Inc. Mr. Brown made a presentation on the Common Core State Standards Initiative, which the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funded. So Achieve.Inc. will become a key player in revamping education under Common Core because they promoted Common Core to the National Governors Association and to the state school chiefs. I can't remember what the name. Yes.
Sharon, if I may, I'm not going to stay. I'm going to listen to y'all. But I've got one thing I'd like to point out and ask you to point out very much at the beginning and then at the end and in the middle to the parents that are listening. There's a lot of them coming by. You know, it's beach time of the year. So we're hoping they're going to listen to this show as they're passing to go to the beach, you know, next week. But they need to know that the standards that you're going to be talking about, they're copyrighted. So the old way of where parents can go to the local school board to make a change, it's not going to happen anymore because these are copyrighted. Somebody outside of Alabama will be in charge. With that, I'm going to leave y'all alone.
Okay, well, and that's exactly the point I was getting ready to make, is because these were given to the National Governors Association, they have copyrighted them. Now, one of the people that are involved in this called the National Governors Association just last week and asked the question, can these standards be changed? And she was told by the National Governors Association, no. So unless something has changed between that phone call last week and this radio program today, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. So districts are in a position right now where they're literally going to transform the way schools are taught. And parents need to know what is happening, and it's so wide, it's so deep, it's so deceitful, and you're going to hear your superintendent's parrot what the superintendent of education for the state has said. You're going to hear people parrot, you're going to hear the same words, you're going to hear rigorous. You're going to hear that these are college and career-ready standards. They're going to say it over and over and over again. You're going to hear them say that this is the best advancement of education in the state of Alabama ever. And they all say the same thing. But then when you start asking them questions, well, why is this the best? Who decided that these were the best standards, better than what we had before? They can't answer questions because once you ask one person and then you ask another, they all say the same thing. And what the superintendents are beginning to say, and rightfully so, we can't change this, and not that it's white that they can't change it, but they have put thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars into something that they didn't even know what they were putting money into as far as what the history of this is and what the goal, the common goal for this common core education is on a national level. This is national. This is not Alabama. This is national. So, Barbara, are you there?
I am. And, Sharon, I wanted to make sure that everyone understands that the National Governors Association was sold this program. They did not come up with it themselves. They did not write the standards.
No.
This group called Achieve.
Yes, it's Achieve Incorporated. And the interesting thing is that when you hear the word National Governors Association, you automatically think, well, those are all of our governors getting together. No, it's a trade organization. It's not. It's a trade organization. They're making money off of this. And I watched their education committee on C-SPAN several weeks ago, and one of the last things that they said that just it kind of threw me for a loop because I didn't even realize what I was watching until I got into it. Said that in 18 months, that parents will be a panic created in parents because their students are going to do so poorly on the assessments associated with Common Core. I thought, what are they talking about? And so I started looking up the assessments that are associated with Common Core, and the reason that parents are going to panic and because their children's achievement tests are going to drop is because it's all tied into social justice. It's tied into areas that conservative parents, conservative families, Christian families do not want their children associated with. And it's going to put children it's going to confuse them because they're going to have knowledge and content, but yet they're going to be tested on their attitudes toward things and their behavior, how they would behave in certain situations instead of content.
Well, while we're talking about this point, Sharon, I read that the Obama administration had taken some stimulus money and used it to purchase United Nations booklets on social justice to be distributed to every school district in the country for teacher training and development, professional development, addressing social justice according to the United Nations, which, of course, emphasizes redistribution of the wealth among other communist ideas. Have you come across that information?
Well, I have not seen that information myself, but a parent just recently emailed me a test. It was an assessment. They can't even call these tests because they're not tests as we know them. But her second grader teacher at Leeds Elementary School in Birmingham, her second grade class was to take this assessment. It's a pre-inventory assessment on the foods, the kind of foods that they eat in their classroom. And the parent told them no, that she did not want her child to take that test. Well, in an afternoon program, the afternoon teachers that worked with her child offered her a water bottle that would change colors if she used it to take the test. So the little girl, thinking she's going to get this water bottle, she took the assessment that they had offered her in her regular class, and she took it, and the mom found out about it and was very upset. And when she sent me a copy of it, up in the top right-hand corner, there are four letters, UNEP, and I looked it up, and that stands for United Nations Environmental Program. So there you go. So it's
wow.
Right there. This is so deep, it's so wide, it's so deceitful. And parents give us the best that they have to give us. They give us our children. They trust us to teach their children. I keep hearing from teachers in Alabama, we would never teach social justice here. We would never teach the kind of things that we found in those textbooks. And I'm sorry, but those standards are so vague and they're so nebulous that if a liberal, progressive, socialist, communist-leaning teacher gets the opportunity, yes, they will teach those things.
Yeah.
They most certainly will. They are going to reculture our kids so that through the kids they'll reculture our nation.
Well, Sharon, Ms. Robertson, I'm still here, sorry. I was listening, but I thought I'd put this in just to back up what you're saying, Sharon. You know, we're going to have Alice Lillihan from Texas coming on the show tomorrow. But, you know, the people that have been watching the news about the Always God curriculum, that was happening in a very conservative state with Christian teachers teaching that. So I think we need to clear up our mind and, you know, face reality. It can happen. It has happened. But we need to do what we can because we can prevent it. We can prevent our teachers in Alabama from being forced into a lot of these things.
Well, I want to share something with you that was told to me yesterday at the House Education, after the House Education meeting, where three of us gave testimony about Common Core. One of the representatives came up to me and he said, Sharon, if this is as deep and as bad as you say it is, then me as one person cannot do anything about it. And I'm going, yes, you can. And he did not vote to repeal Common Core because he doesn't think he can do anything about it. And I'm standing there and I'm just in awe, or I should say perplexed, because I'm thinking, I'm not a legislator, and I am here trying to help legislators learn and understand what Common Core is and the depth of this thing to take over our school system and to take over our children's thoughts, their patterns of thought, and what they believe. And it's contrary to what Christians teach their children to believe. I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Sharon?
Yes.
Were you able to share with anyone about that that second grade assessment page in the upper right-hand corner where it says United Nations Environmental
Program? Yes, ma'am. Okay. I was on the Michael Hart Show in Birmingham last week along with some other folks. We talked about it. We've been taking it to show to legislators. You know, you have to meet with them when they can meet. And we're trying really hard to get that out because I was, you know, I thought, why is this in Alabama? We have people in the State Department of Education that are telling us this will not happen in Alabama. It's already at one little elementary school in an after-school program.
Wow.
I'm just amazed. But
and this was after a parent opted out, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
This was after the parent had opted out
yes.
of these assessments?
Yes. The parent went to talk to the principal to ask them why her child was given this assessment. And they said they didn't know why, that it had something to do with the after-school program. So she went to the after-school program, and she asked them for a copy of the test, the assessment. For some reason, they couldn't come up with it. I mean, they just kept putting her off. But this is a good parent. She just kept digging and digging and asking and asking and asking, and they finally gave it to her, and she sent me a copy of it. And I looked up at the top, and there was that triangle, and I said, it is what you think it is. It is the United Nations Environmental Program. And underneath that, it had the USDA. So all of this is tied in together. The United States Department of Agriculture, USDA.
Okay. Agriculture.
It's all tied together. And And it seems so benign because they're just asking the kids, what do you eat? What's your favorite food to eat? How many of these things do you eat each day? Do you eat this? Do you eat that? But this can get into the data collection portion of Common Core, because in Common Core, even though we keep hearing without assurance, without any kind of written assurance from Dr. Bice at the state level, he keeps telling us that Alabama will not collect anything but academic data to share with the federal government. I mean, the school systems have always done that since the Department of Education on the federal level was created. But he keeps telling us that we're not going to do that. But yet we keep finding information that says it will be collected. And matter of fact, if you don't mind, he's even said that it's a myth that students' privacy will be invaded by the collection of personal non-academic information, which will be shared with the federal government and other private organizations like Google, Microsoft, Pearson, any group. But apparently he's unaware that the Obama administration has already changed the FERPA laws. Are y'all familiar with the FERPA laws?
No, go ahead.
Okay, well, the FERPA laws, for parents who might be listening, is your protection. It's your firewall against your private information being stored, collected, and shared and disseminated to any outside group that may want information about your children. The FERPA law has been changed. It was changed January the 3rd of last year in 2012, and the Obama administration made a host of changes. And what they've done is they've gone around Congress and they're expanding the definitions of authorized representative. That means who can use student data for purposes of an audit, an evaluation, to reinforce or any kind of compliance activity, and education program to include any program administered by an educational agency or institution. That comes from the Federal Register. That's where all the legal documents are housed in Washington. So over 400 data points can be collected, and this sampling includes disciplinary records, health history, family income range, parents' political affiliation, students' attitudes toward a large and unlimited range of subjects, including sex, firearms, biometric personal identifiers. It's happening in other states. Other states have Common Core. We have Common Core. How can our state superintendent keep telling us over and over and over again that they're not going to do this, but he will not put it in writing? It needs to be put in writing.
Oh, really?
It needs to be signed by him and put in writing and put on the public record that Alabama will not do these things that other states are doing with Common Core.
Okay, so we need to pressure the state school board to make the superintendent of education, Tommy Bice, put this in writing, that the 400 data points collected about our students, whether it's by the United Nations with a global, at the global level, whether it's by the federal level in Washington, that none of these data points collected on our students will go to the federal government or to the global government, and he needs to put that in writing.
And they can't, and we should. That it doesn't even need to be shared in case Alabama's applying for a grant of any kind with a private entity like Bill Gates. Bill Gates would love to get his hands on this information. This is something that they've been salivating over for years. They want to track kids from the cradle to the grave. They want to track them from the time they enter school and before, all the way through their workforce. And they'll give you all these glowing reasons why they want to be able to track people. Well, it's none of their business. It is absolutely none of their business what families do and how families conduct their own private business. And what Tommy Bice needs to do, instead of asking him that he will not do these things, but I would say you need to put in writing what Alabama will collect, that we will only collect academic data that has nothing to do with families, that has nothing to do with any kind of privacy issues, that we will only collect that data that we need in order to receive whatever funds from the government we receive. And by jingoes, if it has to tie into private family matters, then we don't need the money.
Well, Sharon, I remember at the hearing in Montgomery at the Senate, where it was conducted by Senator Dick Brubaker and Representative McClurkin. I remember that Superintendent of Education Tommy Bice went to great lengths to tell the audience who he is, how he can be trusted. He has tried to establish his credibility for trust.
Right.
He's actually saying, trust me. Trust me. He actually said that, Sharon. Trust me. I won't, you know, he absolutely is one who has to trust him.
Right.
Sharon, I'm sorry. Ms. Barbara, you know, the superintendents all around the state sure enough trusted him. And as you know, in that article that's come out, it's in our blog, about the questions that were asked. They were simple questions. And Sharon, I'm thinking you've probably already seen the article. If y'all don't mind, touch on that, because I think the ordinary parent needs to know those ordinary questions and how this Common Core was passed without those ordinary questions, simple questions, being answered.
Well, and that's what I started off with when I first came on. I was trying to give a little bit of background about why these questions are not being answered. This is Bill Ayers, and he's a terrorist, and he literally could not bring the country down through his bombing. So now he's trying to reculture, transform our nation into a socialist mindset. And I've been called a conspiracy theorist. I've been called a right-wing nut. I've been called all kinds of things. But my parents understand the word communism. They understand socialism. They taught me about these things. They taught me what to look for. And I'm telling you, the fingerprints of socialism and communism are all over this national reform. And one of the things that parents need to know, let me find this. I've got it written right here somewhere. I'm so sorry. Parents do not want their children indoctrinated with anything that is not family matters, church matters. And one of the things that I read, and I'm sorry, I've got to find it in my notes right here. Linda Darling Hammond, here it is. Barack Obama has outlined a set of ambitious plans to transform American education on a scale not seen since the days of the Great Society. And based on the last 4.5 years, you can bet your bottom dollar he has Bill Ayers, Bill and Melinda Gates' interest at heart more so than our children. I don't think they care about our kids. And it says that districts will be called on to accomplish nothing less than a transformation of our school system. I mean, this was even in the Democratic National Convention platform of this year to have him reelected. So, you know, when you've got people like Bill Ayers and Hillary Clinton and Arne Duncan making these kind of decisions, not even just out of Washington, but out of their think tanks that they've had 20 years to prepare and perfect, we better be concerned.
That's right. That's right. And I appreciate you sharing that about Linda Darling Hammond and Bill Ayers, because they, along with Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Mark Tucker, you mentioned them at the beginning back with when you became aware of Goals 2000, how they were wanting to transform education into the image, into a global communist image, definitely anti-American, But all of them have the same philosophy of education, which is very different from what American parents want their children's education to be. And they've been able to accomplish what bring us to this point. They've been able to do it because, as you said, they went under the radar screen. They became silent after they lost the initial battle with Goals 2000, although I think they've implemented step-by-step what they could through the normal educational channels in the Department of Education from Washington, D.C. I think they have done some incremental work there. But this, what we have now with the Common Core, is the culmination. This is the transformation of our nation's education, according
yes.
to Lynn Darling Hammonds, as she this was published in the Harvard Review, and she was speaking about it. And Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education under Barack Obama, has said this is a revolution in the battle to bring about social justice.
Yes. Ms. Barbara Sharon, I'm sorry, I want to step in again just for a moment. For people that are thinking this is conspiracy, I'd like for them to hear a little bit, Ms. Barbara, about the questions, if you don't mind, that you asked a local superintendent, because these are questions they would want to know. So if you don't mind, let's just give them some more ammunition, because this is really common sense that went out the window. This is not a conspiracy theory thing, but if you don't mind, share those questions that were asked of city superintendents.
Okay, I asked these questions of the Dauphin City School superintendent. His name is Tim Wilder, and it was on a radio interview, a live program. And I began by asking where Common Core standards were tested and shown to be effective. That was the number one question. Where have they tested these standards? Because my fear is that it's just an experiment on our children, like they're laboratory animals or something. Where was the testing done? And the answer he gave was, I do not know. And then I asked the other question to go along with it. Where have the results of these tests been published so that parents and grandparents, interested citizens, can see the results of the testing and evaluate for themselves whether this Common Core standards and curriculum is what we need to have for our children? Well, the answer was the same. I do not know. I asked, because he stated that it had that the standards were strictly Alabama standards. They were given to the National Governors Association, and at that time I did not realize that they were a trade association and that they were being given money to accept these and push them really in their individual states. But anyway, I asked who in the state of Alabama specifically worked on these standards, wrote these standards for us, since they had said that these are strictly Alabama standards. And I wanted to know who did it, who specifically wrote them here in Alabama. I do not know.
Mm-hmm. And they don't know. I'm telling you, they're parroting what they've been told from the state level, and the state level is parroting what they've been told from Washington. And the thing that parents need to know, because these superintendents cannot answer their questions, that should be a big red flag right there. Because on my Facebook page, it says, what is Common Core? And people are trying to separate it, and it's the standards, it's the privacy part, it's the privacy part. It's not just one part. It has five or six major parts where it says it's a national curriculum. It's regionalization or the replacement of local school governments by federally appointed bureaucrats. It's a leveling of all schools to one low national standard and a redistribution of education funds. So that's what Obama wants. He wants to redistribute the funds so that everybody is working off the same playing field. They want to track the students, and it's the loss of an option of avoiding the national curriculum and test through private schools and homeschools. Private schools and homeschools are going to be affected just as much as public schools because of the assessments that will be given in order for them to go to universities and colleges. So these superintendents don't know this because they haven't researched it. They have trusted Dr. Bice. And whatever Dr. Bice says, that's what they do. And it just behooves me that they cannot ask these questions and come up with information and research it. We've all researched it. Why are they not researching it? And why in the world are they spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to develop a program that they don't even know where it came from?
That's right. Now, Sharon, I want you to also talk about the textbooks, because you were appointed by the governor to be on his task force regarding textbooks under Common Core, and I want you to talk about your findings. But also, for the sake of those parents, they might have this question in their mind. Does the Common Core system make public schools accountable to parents or to the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C.?
Well, the answer to that, we've said it many times since we've been talking, parents will not be able to ask their schools what's going on eventually, because it'll be just like that superintendent. They'll say, I don't know. Just like the parent who wanted the copy of that United Nations Environmental Program assessment, they couldn't find it. They will not have the option of being in control of what their children learn in school. It's a national effort. It's a transformation of the way we do business with schools. And another thing that we've not even talked about, and I'll be glad to talk about the textbooks, but it's how much money these different organizations and businesses are going to make and are making off of this change from the standards, by the way, that the Fordham Institute said that we had great standards. Joe Morton, before he retired from superintendent, said that we made more gains in the nation in reading and math than most of the other states. Matter of fact, we made the most gain in reading achievement. So why would you give up something that has worked so well for the state of Alabama for something that's been untested, untried, unproven? And in Kentucky, where they've been piloting this, their overall achievement scores have already dropped 30%. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, Sharon, y'all can go over the 130 and talk a little bit more about the textbooks. I think parents need to hear that, but I just want to add this a little bit because I'm taking up your time here. About Dr. Morton, I was looking at, he is now with the BCA. Oh, sorry about this. I was looking at something where he was saying quite the opposite of what you're saying. You know, we know the facts are, as Ms. Barbara really said in an interview with Tim Wilder, that our standards brought about these higher graduation rates and all this and that. But in a report he did, I think it was before the BCA, he talked about how he tried to have the committee to study our standards, compare it with Common Core, and that the committee found that Common Core was much better. And therefore, he went with that recommendation. But as you were saying, Fordham Institute found out, I mean, ours were good. It's too close to call, is what the state-to-state standards said.
Well, if you go to the ALEX website, it's A-L-E-X, and you find the information on there about the Alabama Reading Initiative, Joe Morton is bragging about how much gain we made. He brags about it, and rightfully so. He should have. ARI made a huge difference in the way children go about reading in our state. They stopped all the whole language mess that was trying to be put in here, and they got to a phonics-based reading strategies that work. And he knew that they were working. So why not? See, that's what behooves me. Why would he say and have it put on the ARI website, as far as Alex goes, that we have made more progress, and then tell, then come out on the other side of this and say, we haven't? I mean, that's just like with Dr. Bice. They keep flip-flopping. They're saying one thing, then they say another, and they say that. Parents have more sense than that. Teachers have more sense than that. Superintendents of districts have more sense than that. They know what has been said. They get the memos. They know that ARI was working and that we were making great gains. They bought into this because Dr. Bice told them to.
Well, all parents are not able to follow all the inconsistencies that are being perpetrated by the education administration. And
well,
that reading initiative with Alabama, not only was it extremely successful in Alabama, but other states, even other
yes.
countries, are
yes.
coming to Alabama to find out about it and to implement the reading initiative in their areas as well, because as you said, it is phonics-based, systematic, intensive phonics, and away from whole language, which is ruined so much of the education in our country in recent years. So the reading initiative now has to be ditched, this successful reading initiative. In fact, haven't they used the money that was designated by the legislature for the reading initiative to continue? Haven't they taken something with that money and put it into Common Core or something?
Well, the most interesting thing is I've heard Dr. Bice say two or three different things. One time he says that the ARI was just the same as it always had been. Then another, at his press conference, he said it had been repurposed. And then at the meeting we had Wednesday, he said he flip-flopped back to the other, said, no, it's the same as it was. But when you go on Alex and you look at the ARI information, down in the very left-hand corner of one of those pages, it says that Literacy and Justice for All, which is one of the ARI modules that they were using around the state, and I just called it Literacy and Justice for All, will not continue so that we can prepare for our college and career-ready standards. So, yeah, they're not teaching ARI the way they were, because now they're transforming it, moving it into Common Core. And I've talked to teachers that used to, ARI originally started with K-3 to train teachers to teach with strategies to teach kids, teach them how to read better and to be successful in their reading. And then they wanted to, I think over the past few years, they wanted to get into help students that were not able to read in middle schools and high schools. Well, I think that's great because they need to be helped, but instead of what I thought they were going to do, they've become instructional partners, and they're very proud of their name, instructional partners. They actually go into content area classrooms, math, science, history. They don't go just to English language arts classrooms. They're going into other classrooms as an instructional partner and telling high school teachers how to teach their content. And to me, that dilutes, and they cannot be as effective as they were. The original model of ARI has been it's changed so much that I don't even know if they know what they're doing anymore.
Oh boy.
So I just, you know, it's very confusing to people. There's so many things that there's nothing right now in Common Core that anybody can just grab hold of them and say, this is truth. Because every time we find out something and we try to ask people questions about it, just like you asked the superintendent, they change their story. And parents need to start asking questions. Parents need to be aware of what text they're going to use in their classrooms to teach Common Core. I can tell you that in other states that have Common Core, they are using social justice issues to teach every content area there is. I know that in Dothan, in your area, I was told by an assistant principal there that they would never do that in their school, that their little district's a very conservative district, and that they would never teach anything that would be anti-family, anti-God, anti-government, anything. I believe her for now because they are very conservative. These standards are so vague, they're so hollow, that they're just begging to be filled with something. And when you start looking at the material that is aligned to Common Core, that's where the problem comes in. The other problem with materials that are aligned to Common Core are not print ready anymore. They're not print available. It's now become digitalized to the point where parents are not even going to be able to see what their kids are using in school because every kid's going to have an iPad or whatever Pearson calls their iPads or laptops. I mean, they have their own digital format device now that they're selling all over the state. And parents will not be able to see what their kids are reading. So parents are going to have to educate themselves about all the different social justice issues so that they can have conversations with their students, particularly when they get in middle school and high school, to find out if these things are being read, talked about, discussed in class, because otherwise, there's nothing for the parent to hold in their hand. We had textbooks when I was on the committee that we could actually hold in our hand and look at, and we could determine if this was appropriate or not. But when you've got a digital format, I don't know how you assign it, because when they gave us digital format text to make sure they were aligned to Common Core in that textbook committee, that was very, very hard to even find the information. Very hard. So I don't know how they're going to, I don't know how. And that's another thing I'd like for Dr. Bice to do. I would like for him to put in writing that the students in the state of Alabama will not be exposed to all the social justice that is being used in other states to teach their content areas. And I don't think he will. I just don't think he will because the companies and the businesses that are making the most money off of this are making the most money because they're politically correct and they go with the agenda that's been set forth to transform our nation. And I'm not even sure there's companies out there right now that have truth in them. I hope there are. But the main
one. Well, Sharon, let me interject again. Sorry. I can't hear y'all. And I think about Texas and the lessons Texas has learned, and I remember Alice Linehan. I think what they're even trying to do is get rid of that managed internet management system, Cisco, you know, that was supposedly to help teachers, but was used really as the avenue for that curriculum, Allah is God, to go through, and really Common Core to go through. They didn't sign off on Common Core, but that's what happened to Texas. So I'm thinking we have not even had a conversation with our legislature of a debate of some sort on whether, you know, computerization is the way to go, because there's information out there that shows us computerization is not the way to go. You've got Silicon Valley parents, some of the smartest people on this nation, that will not send their children to schools with computers. They believe that the children need to be taught the old-fashioned way. And, you know, we've not even had that conversation, and we really need to have that conversation with our legislature, because digitized learning, as you're just saying, is really dangerous. We're not going to have the accountability that we want.
Well, Dr. Bice is going to have to do something to give assurances to parents that he can control that. And I'm going to tell you something, he can't. Dr. Bice wants digital in all the schools. That's where the schools are spending the majority of their money, is on professional development and technology to get their schools ready for Common Core. That's where most of the money's going. That's why the superintendents are very reluctant to find out. I don't know if they're reluctant to find out the information. Maybe they know the information and they just don't want to say it. But they have spent so much money on technology because Dr. Bice's goal is for every child to have a digital device.
We have someone else on board with us. It may be Don Wildman. Don, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome to the show. And I know you have some comments and perhaps a question or two for Sharon Sewell.
I do. I came in just as you were talking about the fact that this is going to affect homeschoolers because the textbooks will ostensibly be changed. What does this do for the private Christian schools that are K through 12 out there? Will they have to follow the same regimen for this curriculum?
It's not so much the curriculum for private schools and homeschoolers as it is the assessment to get into college.
So because they're changing everything, including the SATs, to be formatted around this, that's where
right. The
problem is.
That's where the problem is. And I talked to a lady that's over a homeschool association here in Montgomery, and her advice to her 11th and 12th graders is get all the credits you can and get out while you can so you can take those entrance exams to get in the college of your choice while you're able to do it.
So here, this may sound like a stupid question. So in my way of thinking, which is obviously not even close to how these idiots think, if the standards are based on the same horrible curriculum that's being pushed through in Common Core, so if the SATs are set up for that, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate, by the way. So does that mean our kids are going to be able to get through the SATs because they would have studied the same garbage in, garbage out anyway? And there's actually a second part to this question. Then what does this say about higher education?
Gosh, you know what? Yesterday at that hearing, I was thinking about that, and I thought, what is this going to do to our university? What in the world is this going to do to our colleges? The Common Core standards in Alabama are called college and career-ready standards. I get the career-ready part because industry, the BCA, wants worker bees. They want to train people to go into their industries right out of high school. They're ready to start working, and they've got everybody they need to do what they need to be done, what they need to be done in their industries, whatever those industries may be. But when I start thinking about college, if we're teaching to the lowest common denominator and we have equalized all schools across the state, across the nation, to the lowest common denominator called Common Core, what is going to happen to the universities? I mean, really, what are they going to teach? And how can they teach?
But the thing, too, is that I know for my state here in California, 90% of the college students that come in to a junior college right after high school have to be remediated anyway. So they're pretty much, they're obviously not getting or not learning K through 12 to begin with. But my other concern is what happens to all those really gifted students out there that would go along to hopefully become the doctors, the lawyers, the teachers of tomorrow if, frankly, I don't even know how anybody's going to get into college based on what I see happening K through 12.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And I don't know, Dawn. I just don't know.
I'm sorry. It's one of those things you start thinking about the train going down the tracks. So as I see this train going down the tracks, I'm thinking along the whole line, because we all know this wasn't a thoroughly thought-out process, and it has absolutely nothing to do with educating our kids.
Well, let's put it this way. It was not thoroughly thought out or not thoroughly presented to those who are implementing it in the states. This thing has been thoroughly thought out and perfected for the last 20 years. It's confusing to us because we believe in truth and we believe in traditional classical education. And when you start putting these other ramifications into the mix, we're sitting here going, what are you doing? But they know exactly what they're doing. It's by
design. I get that they know what they're doing, and it has nothing to do with education.
Exactly.
It's when I saw a program recently that was showing what some of the new English curriculum will be based on informational sources rather than classical literature like Huckleberry Finn or you know, any other Mark Twain or Catcher in the Rye or any, you know, numerous books we all read in high school, that now they're going to be reading from executive orders from the Transportation Environmental Department, from song lyrics, from, I mean, this is, if you have ever tried to make a whole unit of people just plain old stupid, this was what you would do.
Well, I mean, they're even going to be reading from your way about the Federal Reserve System in San Francisco. You're even going to be in there. But let me tease some of the topics. Now, everybody, the State Department of Education in Alabama will say, we've rejected these books, they're not going to be, but these are textbooks that are aligned to Common Core, and parents from other states that are listening, they need to listen for these topics. But here are some of the topics. Deer Hunting with Jesus, Dispatches from America's Class Warfare. 20 years ago, women were a majority of the population, but they were treated like a minority group. The prejudice against them was so deep-rooted that, and then it tries to get tries to get students to start thinking about what women's roles are and how we should limit the roles of men. They say that withholding is a bad way to go about collecting tax money, even though the figures may show that it's different. They talk about terrorism. What feelings does it evoke in the student? What stereotype of terrorism does this particular photo in the book suggest? They have writing assignments where they have to write about the Washington, D.C. snipers. They have to think about Timothy McVeigh and what would be, why did he have an unquenchable fury against the U.S. government? Why aren't we talking about our patriots? Why aren't we talking about those people in history that have made a difference and have made our country better instead of these people that have tried to destroy our country? They want the kids to discuss medical marijuana, illegal immigrants, that illegal immigrants bolster our Social Security system. They have one of the...
This is a lie.
Of course. And one of the things, and this is one of the things they want the kids to do, is go to President Obama's Facebook page. And how can social networking be used to improve global conditions? Cite one specific possibility. It's, and by the way, the informational text in high school is 50% to, in some places, 70% of what they're supposed to be reading.
Wow.
Yep,
I just don't even know what to say about that.
Well, you know, that's
I'm so disgusted with this whole thing, it's not even funny.
Well, it's very hard to articulate a lot of this to parents because it's so much edu-speak. And so I've been trying to figure out a way to help parents understand that this is not what you want for your children, but parents have got to be able to articulate what they don't want to their principals, their teachers, their superintendents, and so on. They've got to be able to communicate with each other and network. And so I would love for your listening audience right now to be thinking about ways that they can communicate to each other what is happening to our education system in the United States.
Well, hopefully, Sharon, what we've started as sort of, it was really, we started a national education call a couple of weeks ago, and it was really just out of desperation. You know, Diana saw what was happening in Alabama as far as them not being able to get their repeal done for Common Core. And, you know, she said, we have to be talking to other people. So I set up a national call. And even as we speak, all the people that I'm getting in touch with, it is amazing how many people are actually working on this, but we don't have any clue. And so people aren't connecting to each other on a national way, I feel, to share best practices, what's worked, what hasn't, how far has it gotten. And, mm-hmm. you know, without that communication nationally, I don't think we're going to be able to fight this as nearly as well as we would if we all got together and did it.
Right.
Because, you know, it's amazing going out there and finding all of these resources and thinking, well, how is it we don't even know about this? Now, if I'm a political activist and I don't know, do you think the average parent knows? No.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I know that we have found a website, and I can't tell you what it is right now, but there is a website that shows that there are 24 organizations right now in the United States from different states that are starting to network. In Alabama, we have one called Alabamians United for Excellence in Education. It's www.aue.org, and we also have a Facebook page. And the social networking is it's working. I mean, it is truly helping people to network, to get together, to have conversations. And it's amazing to me, this little bitty Facebook page that I have, I only have 164 likes. It doesn't matter. It's being shared with friends of friends and different people. And there's some days there are 800 people that have seen this page. They may not have liked it, but 800 people have come in here to read what we have on the page. And it's the same way with our website. I may not get comments back from people, but I know that it's being shared because I can go into other people's websites now, and our website, www.auee.org, is listed right there for the state of Alabama, people who are fighting Common Core. So I know what you're saying, and I hope that people will start to push their information out into others, because on my own Facebook page, I'm starting to like, you know, how you go into other people's Facebook page and like what they have. There's one called School Choice for New Hampshire, Stop Common Core in South Carolina, Parents and Educators Against Common Core in Louisiana, Ohio Common Core, Reality of Education Standards and Reform, School Choice for New Hampshire, Missouri Education Watchdog, Stop Common Core in Michigan, Iowans for Local Control, Hoosiers Against Common Core, Stop Common Core in Illinois.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Here we have all these organizations in all these different states, and yet, you know, we're not communicating with these people. And it's not because for any other reason that people, except that they're working on their stuff in their state. And if you're mm-hmm. like me, you may not even realize that somebody else is working on, I mean, until we started digging in about, you know, who exactly is doing what. You know, I just recently found out that Michelle Reed now has an organization here in California. So we're reaching out to her. I just want to make sure that we know who's working on it in each state so that we can drive parents then to the people who can answer the questions. We had somebody, you know, where my husband works, he was a friend of his at work was talking to my husband about education, and his wife wants to be a homeschooler, and my husband started telling him about Common Core, and he was just blown away. And said, oh, can you give me your wife's information so my wife can call your wife? And
yeah,
you know, without us networking really and doing that, you know, mm-hmm. we're not able to reach these parents in time. And, you know, we are already seeing it being implemented in a couple of places here. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so if we can't stop this before it starts going downhill, we're going to be in big trouble.
There's a really nice lady in California. Her first name is Orlene. I can't remember her last name, but she's written a great book on Common Core standards.
Orlene Kahlo. She's the head of California's Eagle Forum. Yeah, we're in touch with her.
Yeah, she's great. And listen, I caution you about Michelle Rhee. Michelle Rhee is all about Michelle Rhee. You need to do your research on her very carefully because you'll find that there are some very interesting things about what she did in Washington, D.C., and I'll just be honest with you, I don't trust her. So just be careful. Just be careful.
Always. Always, always, always. But thank you
very
much.
Yeah.
But working in politics, it's not hard to believe that there are people out for their own agenda.
Oh, yeah.
It pretty much sums up everybody, except for us.
Yeah, there's a lot of money to be made off of all
this. Don and Sharon, we're approaching the close of the show today. And, Don, I'd like for you to go first and give any closing comments you would like. And then, Sharon, to you. You know, particularly what parents need to know.
Well, for me, I just want people to reach out. They can send me an email at dmwlaw1@cox.net. If they want to come on our call, it's Thursdays at 5:00 Pacific time. If they want to learn about Common Core, who's fighting it, and how to fight it, please come on our call. We want to get everybody educated about this so that they can fight it.
Well, thank you, Donna.
And
would you give that one more time, please? Perhaps everyone didn't grab a pen in time.
Okay.
So one more time, please.
It's D as in Delta, M as in Mary, W as in Water, L, Lima, A as in Alpha, W as in Water, the numeral 1, at cox.net. That's my email address. Just send me an email. I'll put you on the list, and we'll get you on the calls.
Okay. Thank you so much, Don. And Sharon, what would your closing comments be for our audience?
I'd love for your audience, who are parents, to go to www.auee.org. They will find a wealth of information. It's turned into a basic clearinghouse, especially for parents in Alabama. Go to the Contact Us at the last page. Send me a message. Give me your email address, and I will get back in touch with you. I have 7 parents right now in Alabama who are trying to network, 7, and they are trying to network with other parents to stop this. And that number needs to grow, but we just got together this week or last week. So parents need each other. You've got to lean on each other. You've got to support each other, and I will be glad to help you network with each other.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate everything that both of you are doing in this battle, and it truly is a battle. It is a war for the souls of our children.
Yes, it
really is. And we've got to step up and stand up and stand strong. And we can do that best when we do it together, for sure. Well,
yes.
Don, if you would like to close us in prayer today, Don, I would appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with great concern, but also I am still with great hope that we can turn this around, change this, and alert parents all over the country to the ensuing storm against their children, because that's exactly what this is. It's against the family. It is against their children. We know that your word follows that we are supposed to be the keepers of our children and to protect our children. So please continue to give us guidance and wisdom and courage and faith in each other so that we can continue this battle. And I just want to ask a special uplifting for all those people that are working on it, Sharon, Miss Barbara, Miss Diana, Mr. Wayne, all the people that work so hard to bring this to everybody's attention and get the wheels in motion. It has been an uphill climb, but they have been stalwart in their encouragement and in their just their focus, their laser focus on this. So I would ask for them to be protected and to give them some peace to know that the ball is starting to roll. We'd ask for you to continue to help our legislators who are completely either ignorant or confused. Please give them a special awakening so they can see the dangers that lie ahead for this nation's children. Please protect our military, both home and abroad, and their families. They are sacrificing with the ultimate gift to protect us and other nations. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Don Wildman, and for being with us also. And thank you to you, Sharon Phillips, for being with us. Hope you join us again. And listeners, we thank you for joining us. Please be aware that this show will be broadcast in our area in Southeast Alabama on Saturday at noon on 101.1 FM. It's the Boll Weevil station. And so tell your family and friends to be on the lookout, listen in, and become informed so we can be involved in getting this stopped and protecting our children. They look to us. They depend on us to protect them, and we need to protect them for sure. So share this podcast, also available at cityonthehill.tv, along with many others about this most important subject, Common Core curriculum and Common Core standards in the United States, and specifically at this point in Alabama, we're focusing in on that. So share this and other ones with your family and friends wherever they are in this country and even throughout the world. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And may God bless America. Thank you for joining us today at City on the Hill Radio Show.